Let's open up our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we are so thankful for salvation. We're thankful for your Son, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for some of the things that you've shown to us. Dear Lord, as you gave the parables in the Bible, you told us that those parables are for the saints, dear Lord. Those parables are the hidden things of the mysteries of this kingdom of God. And dear Heavenly Father, you revealed them to your saints, dear Lord, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, we're thankful for the many blessings that we have each and every day. We ask you to be with each and every one of us, dear Lord, as it's already been mentioned several times. Dear Lord, we desire to see people have an interest in the things of God. And as Sister Linda mentioned about Cameron, and I believe we may have mentioned it Wednesday also, dear Heavenly Father, all across this land, there are young people graduating high school. And dear Heavenly Father, their life is available, open to whatever they decide to do. And Lord, we desire to see some of those young people have a desire for the things of God. Dear Lord, we know as our own self, dear Lord, as a young man getting ready to graduate high school, you spoke to my heart, dear Heavenly Father. You talked to me, dear Lord. You showed me this pearl of great price. And Lord, it's been a wonderful blessing to me. And dear Heavenly Father, as we spoke of this morning, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, your power still works through the preaching, still works through the gospel, still works through your Spirit. And Lord, we love to see the salvation of young people, dear Heavenly Father, especially young people, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to help us to be encouraged and to pray for our families, our young people, our community, dear Heavenly Father, that they may seek the things of God, and we'll certainly thank you for that. We ask you to be with us as we look into the Word of God this evening. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the Word. I'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, I like this one particular verse. Anytime I read it, it always kind of brings a smile and joy to my heart in one sense. But verse 1, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. I was thinking as Brother David was testifying a little bit in this verse here, verse 2, he says here, for the joy that was set before us. You know, I believe, as he mentioned, there's many of us, everybody, we have some joyful things. It's good to enjoy life. I believe God allows us to live this life, enjoy the things of life, some of the pleasures that are good, wholesome pleasures, and to be thankful for what God gives us. So look into the sky, Psalms, it tells us about the glory of God. And the firmament, look into the heavens and see the glory of God, to see these things, to recognize them, as we've spoke some different things tonight, even about the corn and just different things, to recognize the grace of God and how he is so powerful and wonderful. For the joy that was set before him. Paul says here in verse 1, he says, we have a race before us. Whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, you're in a race. Whether you understand the things of God or whether you don't understand the things of God, you're in a race. You're in a race to somewhere. Now, a lot of times we look at that word race and we kind of confuse it a little bit. You're in a destination travel. Let's put it that way. Maybe not. When we look at a race, we always have to be competitive against somebody or beat somebody or be in front of somebody.
But you've got a destination. You're on a traveling trip, and you have a set destination. You're in a race. And Paul says here, he says, we're in a race. And this race, we have to put up with a lot of things as far as being Christians. There's many things we have to put up with, and we're going to talk about a little bit here with Christ some as we go into verse 2. We have to put up some things. We have to, in this particular race, we have to put up with a lot of hypocrisy. A lot of things that are false. Jesus even said when he was on the earth, he goes, there's many false teachers. There will be people that are dressed as angels of light, so to speak, but they're false teachers. They're teaching you that Christ is love, Christ is mercy, but they're teaching you wrong thing. And as saints of God, it burdens our hearts greatly when we see maybe our loved ones or family or friends or someone else. They say they're a child of God. They say they're going to heaven. They say what we sang tonight, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They say those things, but they live in sin still. And they say, well, I can't, just we talked about this morning. They say, I can't get out of sin. Everybody lives in sin. Everybody deals with it. Well, God can give us the power for that. So we deal with hypocrisy and things. We deal with criticism. We are criticized many times in our family and things. The Bible even lets us know the very foes of our household will be, or the household, the ones that we live with, they're going to be our trouble, our foes, the ones that we battle with, our family, our friends. I often think about this many, many, many times. I think about as I go to, and get in my vehicle to go to the church, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, whether it's revival, and I ride down the road, and people know where you're going. People know you're coming to church. People know you are here this evening. And they wave to you, and they say, oh, you're going to church. Have a good service. And they've been, and even in my yard sometimes when I'm leaving, have a good service and all. And I think there's going to come a day to where you're going to wish you were going with me.
Amen.
But you can't. You're going to cry. You're going to plead. Let me go with you. Let me come to you. I think I said something to Brother and Sister Jerry some years ago. Brother Wingate sang a song one time, and it just stayed in my mind. I wasn't saved long. Matter of fact, probably wasn't saved but a year or two. And he sang a song, and I don't remember the song, anything about it, but I remember when it talked about the mother and her children would go to church week after week after week, and ask the children, would ask their father, Daddy, won't you come to church? And he wouldn't. He'd just stay home. Daddy, won't you come to church? Daddy, won't you come to church? And then that came that day of judgment. That came that day of separation. And they said, Daddy, you can't go with us no more. We're going on to heaven, so to speak. I don't remember all the words. He said, Daddy, we have to leave you. And I said, how sad of a thing. And that's the destination race that we're in today. We're in a race that we have to face hypocrisy. We have to face criticism. We have to stand in the battle of things, of people thinking that they're right and how they live. We think about a race sometimes, and we think about living in this world, living in this battle, this race. There's the old story of the turtle and the rabbit. And you know, in a turtle and a rabbit, there's no possible way that a turtle can beat a rabbit in a race, in an actual race. And if I were to set a turtle and a rabbit right here, and they had to go to the other end of the altar, the rabbit's going to win. Boom, boom, go. He's going to be across there, probably back there, and the turtle's just going to start. But that's not a race of swiftness of who can get there first. This is an endurance race. Get in the race, stay in the race, and stay steady at it. Just stay consistent at it. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you have to stay consistent. And too many people, they're not willing to be in the endurance race. They just want to get the prize and go on, and they lose out. They can't stay in the race. If you're saved, sometimes it seems like other people are just getting by. Some of the battles of the race. Sometimes when we're saved and we're sanctified and we're living for the Lord, it seems like some other people, sometimes people through hypocrisy and different things, it seems like they're just getting by. Well, everything's okay with them. Their life is okay, their family's okay, and there's nothing wrong with those things. And they're just living their life. But they're going to come one day to where, as Brother David said, we're going to talk about here in just a moment, they're after joys of this world.
They're after the happiness of this world. They're after the affairs of this world and not the things of God. So when we think about here, Paul says we're in a race. And there's a race that is set before us here in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, children don't have a lot of patience, do they?
Oh, they want everything now.
Children, they lose their patience. They don't have much patience at all. And you know, living for God, you get saved as a young person and God allows you to live out your years, you got to have some patience. Amen. You got to have some endurance. And as he said there, we're compassed through the greater cloud of witnesses. But he that has patience, let him run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus, as he walked this earth, Jesus was also in a race. And look at verse 2 here. He says there, and we read verse 1, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's our leader. That's the one we watch. That's the one we keep our eyes fixed on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to endure the cross. Jesus told every one of us, told people in the Word of God as they come to follow, we want to follow you, we want to be followers of you, pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus had a cross to bear. And as he says here these things, he says that for the joy set before him, endured the cross. We have to endure the cross. And you know what sometimes that endurance is? You're by yourself. Not really the world, your family, they don't understand. They don't understand why you get up and go to church every week. They don't understand why you live like you do. They don't understand why you keep yourself under subjection to the things of God. They don't understand. And they sometimes can criticize you, question you, ask you that. They don't understand. Why? Because they don't have the joy that's set before them to be able to endure the things that we have to do. It says here that Jesus endured the cross. He endured the shame. He endured the rejection. He endured the abandonment. Everybody left him. Everyone left him. The disciples left him. His mother and Mary there were down at the cross. That was about it. And the very weight of your sins and my sins was upon him. He endured the physical torture. He endured the beating. He endured the crown of thorns placed upon his head. He endured the nails going to his cross and being nailed to the cross. And he endured 6 hours on the cross. He had to endure that. But it says, for the joy that was set before him on the other side of the cross. For the joy, that joy of, by the grace of God, we can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him. That's what he loved us and desired for us. For the joy that was set on the other side of the cross, he was willing to endure that cross. And the same with us. We're in a race and we have to endure some things and we have to stay faithful to those things. And if we see how the joy that is on the other side of this journey here, which is heaven, we'll speak of a little bit, that joy that we have there being in heaven, are we willing to endure the cross to receive the joy that Christ is going to give to us? For the joy that was set before him. You can keep your finger out, and we might come back here. But John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, sometimes people just need to get that part, that last part. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the joy? What is that joy, that blood of Jesus Christ, the redemption? The joy that is set before us is that everlasting life, that we won't perish there. So I ask you the question this evening, is the joy worth the battle? Is the joy worth the battle?
Jesus.
You ever had anything, a project you had to do? And I'm going to give an example here. I'm trying to think of something else, but that was an enduring project. And you're like, boy, I don't really. I know some of the brethren all can, you know, you get a project, you get it, especially when you had the kids or whatever, and they brought a box with about 1,000 parts, and you had to put it together. You know, Doug and Kim, they thought it was a good idea for Lynn to buy me a Lego Bigfoot. You know, I used to like the big trucks and things, still do. But when she got it for me as a gift, and I remember opening it, and I thought to myself, why? I mean, you know, I'm not real enjoyable with puzzles, and I think I forget, it took me several days. It took me a couple days to work on it at night, and I forget how many, because Dougie told me to keep track of how long it was, and it took me, I think, 7 total hours and all, and I think it was over almost 600 pieces.
Wow.
Of these little tiny pieces, and if you got to follow the directions step by step by step. If you've ever done a Lego thing, if you've never done them, I tell you, I would say it's an engineering marvel. It's an engineering marvel, how they made it. But you know, I wanted to get it done. I'm thinking, when they first give it, I'm thinking, I'll never do this ever. But I was, well, Dougie got one for the kids. He says, you got to do it because I got to do it. So I did it and everything. Not going to say that it was a great joy at the end of it. But there was a project that I wasn't really looking forward to, and I had to make myself sit down. Of course, it was in the winter, so it was easier. Sit down and spend a couple hours each night until I got it finished. We know sometimes when we see something there, again, that wasn't a great joy at the end. I was glad I got it done, and I took it to work and put it on a shelf that I have other things there at the shop, and I keep it there. But, you know, as the job was completed. You know, a lot of times we have some things that we really do want to get done. I know Brother Danny has done restoration on cars. I've seen pictures of people doing cars, and they take pictures of them when they first get them, and I've seen them, and I'm thinking, there's no way. There is no way. There is no. But it might be 3-4 years down the road, but this thing is absolutely gorgeous. They had that vision before it even started on it. Before they took one bolt off or disassembled one thing, they had the vision of what it was going to look like, and they endured all the problems and ideas they had to put into that to get it to achieve this one goal. And once they finally got it, there was joy. There was some peace. Well, let me tell you, I'm talking about a greater joy in this world.
Amen.
The joy of eternal life. Is the joy worth the battle?
Amen.
What's your joy in life? Amen. Again, as Brother David mentioned, and it's wonderful to have some things that we can enjoy, some hobbies that we can enjoy, things we can do. But there's something that should be the ultimate joy in our lives, and living for God and making heaven our home should be our desire. Song we have in our songbook, there is joy in the service. And the very first verse says, there is joy in the service. There is joy in the service of the Master. I thank God there's joy being in the house of God.
Yes. Amen.
I thank God I enjoy being in the service of God. There is no place on earth that doesn't give us the peace as it does here.
Yes.
Being here, that contentment, that happiness. Let me sing of the glory I have found, since I gave all to Jesus and his favor gained. Oh, wondrous streams of love, of joy forever abound. Verse 4 says, Could I sing out the pleasures of my bosom, how my heart thrills with glory in the way. All the world would no longer in the desert stay, but to my Jesus come and even today. Verse 2, I skipped that one. Read it last. Could you bring me treasures of the ocean? Could you offer the golden stores of earth? I would sing hallelujah. I've got a greater wealth. I have my Savior's love, a heavenly birth. There is no joy that the world can compare to that. Having salvation, having an understanding that we're pleasing God, having that grace of God to be in our lives. Jesus, my life and my joy evermore. Jesus, forever my heart's deep store. Glory to God for redeeming love. Oh, wondrous peace of God that flows from above. This should be our joy. This should be, and from time to time, I'll mention, from time to time, we really do need to look at that joy from every once in a while. We need to stop. I think somebody, Danny or Brother Danny, mentioned about stopping and smelling the roses. From time to time, we need to stop and just take in the joys that God has for us, just to meditate on them, to think about them, to consider. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul is giving a little bit of his resume here. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. There's a lot of people that have many joys in their lives. They desire their goals, their intentions. And some of these are, there's nothing wrong with them. There's some of them that, now when Paul, he mentions these things. He's circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was a very influential man, a pretty good resume, so to speak. And people can walk you through places, and they've got a bachelor's degree and master's degree and doctor's degree and teacher's degree and this degree, and they've achieved this and achieved that in life. Well, Paul, that's what Paul's done, so to speak. And Paul says, I took all them plaques off my wall, so to speak. That's what he said. And he says, I basically threw them in the garbage can. That I may have Christ. He found a greater joy. The joy that was set before Paul, he says, I count all them things lost. That's what he says in verse 7 and 8 there. But what things were gained for me? All those plaques, and you hang them up. You know, I have back here in my room, I have a lot of different pictures and things. And Sister Carol gave me something just not too long ago. And she says, I wanted to get you something for your room. I don't know, many of you may not know. Most of the things in that room have been given to me. There may be one or two things in there, pictures or whatever, that I bought. But 90% of the things in that room have been given to me. And I don't know if I told you, I may have told you, I don't know if I told you when I was in camp meeting or in revival, Sister Charlie's little girl, I sent her a picture. She, when I was there the last time for revival, she was just real little, and she came, and that Sunday morning in Sunday school, all the children gave me a little gift or something or a card, but she gave me a rose, a little white silk rose. And she goes, this represents my heart because I got saved during this revival. Well, I brought it home, and I put a piece of tape around it, and I put a paper, and I wrote on there who I got it and what it was for, and I leave it there. So when I was there for this revival, and she came and talked to me, she goes, our Sister Charlie told me she was excited, so I told her about that, and I sent her a picture. When I got back, I still have that. You know, there's some things. So when all these things, I was trying to remember why I even started that conversation, but all those things that are moved, there's only one plaque in there, and that's my ordination plaque. I don't have anything else. I've gone to seminars and papers and things at home, and then I know they're just participation things and all. But there are some people, as Paul said here, they've got plaques and things all across their walls. Paul says, I got rid of them all. What things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Many people have given up many things in life. I thank God for hearing the testimonies of some of the ministers we know. Brother Wingate, I mentioned, was one of them. Brother Daryl Stanford was another one. Brother Terry DeVille was another one. Brother Junior Trister. How they were involved in the nightclubs and the playing and the music. Brother John was here with us a little bit. And the long hair, all that stuff. And they gave all that up to know Jesus Christ. And God uses them in the ministry. And I thank God for those testimonies that we can have. He's still the same today. He still can save men out of the depths of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul counted all these things as an accomplishment, but he disregarded them that he may have Christ and have the joy that was set before him. As he said, as I mentioned, I've done jumped ahead a little bit. I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Is there joy set before you? Is the joy set before you worth the battle?
Yes, amen.
Is the joy set before you that you see, is it worth the battle?
Absolutely.
You know, I wrote this little note down here right before service. I read that I'm written on my page here. Is the joy set before you worth the battle? You know, I thought about this. You know, people will say, I'll take the risk and suffer the consequences. You ever heard anybody say that? Make that kind of comment? Would you do that? And it's just in general things of life sometimes. Maybe daredevil or something daring you. And I've seen people do some things. I'm like, why would you even attempt to do that? But climb up on the roof. And I'll just jump off. I think I can do it. And if I break my leg, I'll suffer. I mean, that's sort of a one thing. But people make those comments. I'm gonna go after this particular goal or this achievement and everything, and if I fail, I'll worry about suffering the consequences later. And I think to myself, you're willing to suffer if you fail. If you don't achieve what you're desiring to do, people will I'm willing to suffer. Well, let me tell you what, God says if we suffer now, you're going to suffer being a child of God. But thank God if you stay faithful, you're going to have a wonderful reward. People go after so many things in life and they fail and they suffer for it. People in the financial world take all their money and put it into a particular stock and it crashes. Take all their money and put it into a particular business and it fails. Take all whatever they do. They gamble for whatever it is. They give all these things to try to achieve a certain goal or a joy, and they fail and they suffer miserably. And they know, they understand before they even start, I may suffer for this. I give you another kind of foolish example. I don't do it too much anymore. I don't think I do it anymore when I was younger. But as far as turning wrenches, Brother Danny could probably tell you this. You have a nut right here and you put a wrench here and you're pushing. You're like, you know what? If you slip, you're going to tear all the knuckles up. And when you're young, you just do it and you slip and you tear all the knuckles up. You know you're going to do that, but you still do it. After a while, you stop doing that. You're like, I'm not going to do something different. But people do that. They are willing to take the risk, understanding that there's going to be significant consequences that will affect them for all life. I tell you what, why don't you accept Jesus Christ? And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have all the battles and all hardship. Accept Jesus Christ and see the glory that he has for you and the joy at the end of the race. Now, I don't want to do that. The foolishness of some people that choose how they make their choices in life. Is the joy set before you worth the battle? There are many things that is precious to us in life. There are many things. Your children, your grandchildren, your family, your homes, your own life, your job, all these things. And all these things have hard battles in them. All these things have some difficulties. There's not a one of us in here that hasn't raised children. We've had battles or hardships. And no doubt we all knew that when we had children, there would be some hardships. But they're our joy. They're our joy. I've told several people, going through the issue with my father-in-law, and I said, you know, if you don't have a really big house, you know, if you got a real big house and you got a separate entry and a separate kitchen and separate everything, that might work okay. But when two families are sharing the same house, it's difficult. It doesn't work. I said, when Doug and Kim, they sold their home and they came and lived with us, Colton was just a baby, wasn't even crawling yet, and they came and lived with us with the intentions, hey, we're going to go ahead and buy a house and we'll be gone in probably a couple weeks, month maybe, whatever. Well, it was during the market when it was been crazy, and they were with us for almost a year. And I've told several people this, you know, when we're dealing with talking about Howard was with us. I said, my son and his wife and my grandchildren are the love of my life. They're my heart. But let me tell you what, I was glad when they were ready to go. And I was happy, and thankfully we knew that they were going to go, you know, when they bought a house. But when it isn't that way, it can be difficult, even greater. There's many things in life that are our love, but there still comes some battles. But of all these things, they need to be second in our life. Our children, our grandchildren, our homes, our jobs, our everything. God needs to be first to see that true joy. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brethren, sister, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus left heaven. Jesus laid his glory aside. Jesus laid his glory aside, his throne aside. He left his father, he left heaven, he left angels. He left all that we don't know about. He left all that and came to earth for you and I. For the joy that was on the other side of the cross. Jesus says here, and he uses the word hate, and I know he doesn't mean that in the way we look at hate, but as I just mentioned, meaning they have to be second place in their lives. If any man come to me, your mom, your dad, your wife, your children, your brethren, your sister, and even your own life has to take a back seat, so to speak, and let Christ be first. The joy that I see before me, the joy of heaven, the joy of glory has to be first in my life. Go over one more verse of Scripture, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, picking up in verse 21. A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of a child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into her world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Thank the Lord. That's our joy. I guess in the natural point of things, there's a lot of that true, long as there's no physical or no life-threatening thing. But it says, when a woman is going through childbirth, there's great sorrow and great pain and great anguish. But after it's all over with, there's also great joy. I heard a minister mention this some years ago, not too many years, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, whatever, and it always stuck with me. He goes, you know what brings joy? He goes, when we see somebody get saved and added to the church. When babes are born into the church. He goes, and you don't, the verse, he says, you don't believe me? Look at a natural family. When a baby is born into a natural family, there's great joy. There's great joy from aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors. There's great joy. There's a child, a baby born into the family. The same thing with the child being born here. Why? Because we know that they'll have that same joy that we have that is set before them if they endure the cross. And he says there in verse 22, and now you therefore have sorrow. It's difficult. It's a battle. It's a trial. Living for the Lord. Staying faithful. Resisting the hypocrisy, the criticism, all the things that we have to face in this whole world. If you now therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. I believe Jesus is meaning here when we see him again. All sorrow will be gone. All burdens are gone. Everything that we've ever had to deal with and troubles and bad, I believe it'll be lost and forgotten forever. And Jesus says, when I see you again, your heart shall rejoice and your joy no man taketh from you. Thank the Lord. Verse 22 there. We just read that. So verse 22, as he said there, there is no sorrow. And the song that we sing from time to time, just one glimpse of Jesus, our hearts shall rejoice. And the joy that is set before you is as no man can take our joy, as Jesus Christ says. Those are the things we need to look at. Why are you living for the Lord? Why are you being faithful to God? Because of the joy that I see set before me. I had a note. I'm troubled. I got a note somewhere and I can't find it there. But I don't know where it is anyway. But that joy. There's a joy. Eternal glory. Eternal life. And we won't take these bodies with us. We won't need glasses. We don't need hearing aids. We won't need walkers. We won't need anything that helps this physical body, because these physical bodies won't be there. Never be tired. Never be weary. Never be painful. Never. The one song I sing talks about we'll never have to part again. We'll never have to tell anyone goodbye or we'll see you later. Never again will those things that we suffer in this world will we face. That eternal joy. That's why we endure the cross. Jesus endured the cross, suffered the shame, despised those things for the joy that was set before him. Do you see the joy set before you? Is the joy that's set before you worth the battles? You know, sometimes that question can come. The devil will bring it. Don't you get tired of it? Don't you get tired of being in the fight? Don't you get tired of just being weary and just continue it all on? Yeah, I do. But then I look back in the Bible and Jesus says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not, because of the joy that was set before you. Jesus said the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. And by the grace of God, help us, Lord, that we'll endure the things before us, that we'll have the joy also. May the Lord bless you as I have a song.
Let's turn to page 369.
Pilgrim, no. pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my praise shall be. Gladly will I toil suffer, only let me walk with thee. Close to thee. Gladly will I toil suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the valley's shadow, bear me home, life there for sea. Bend again our life eternal, may I
life eternal, may I end.